fasten your seatbelts and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Baby blue staring in the window pane, just counting drops of rain. Wondering if she's got the guts to take it. Running down her dreams in a dirty dress, now her heart's a mess. Praying she will find a way to make it. So keep on climbing, though the ground might shake. Just keep on reaching, though the limb might break. We've come this far, don't you be scared now. Cause you can learn to fly on the way down.
March 25th, 2018. Today, I signed a contract to save my life. Today, I initialed CB next to each of the boxes of the Fort Wayne Smallest Winner contract and made a lifetime commitment to living a healthy lifestyle. I, Crystal Bennis, will never ever use the words I can't. I must be completely honest with myself. What I really mean is I won't. There is a big difference, and I'm accepting neither response. All I ask is if you ever hear me say I can't, just ask me, you can't or you won't. Those are the words from Crystal Bennis' first entry in her blog as a contestant on Fort Wayne's Smallest Winner. At that point in her life, Crystal weighed in at 375 pounds. She couldn't roll out of bed without struggling. Her breathing was labored. Taking the stairs was pretty much out of the question. Crystal had recently moved from Central Wisconsin and her Antigo family to Fort Wayne, Indiana, for her job and the prospect of a new life. One morning, she made the life-saving decision that she had to make a significant change in her lifestyle to survive. Today on Route 51, Crystal will share her journey from being, in her words, the biggest person in the room to mentoring others as a healthy lifestyle influencer. Also joining us today is Kelly O'Hearn. Kelly has been a registered dietitian for more than 13 years and now manages Aspirus Ideal Weight Solutions. Kelly and her team have helped more than 3,000 individuals reach that weight loss goal of theirs.
Keep on climbing, though the ground might shake.
We'd also like to hear from you. Do you have a question or comment of either of our guests? Our number is 800-780-9742. That's 800-780-9742. Crystal and Kelly, welcome to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Rick.
Kelly, this is the first time you've been on the program. We're really glad you're here. And Crystal, you're a former intern on this program, and this is your first time behind the microphone. It's great to have you back.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's great to be back.
Crystal, when you graduated from Antigo High School in 2011, you weighed more than 400 pounds.
I did.
But weight was an issue long before that. Take us back.
So, yeah, from the moment I started remembering my smallest memories, I was always the biggest person in the room. There are points in my life where I just remember running into situations where I was bigger, and people try to make you feel welcome in situations where they have to accommodate you. But, yeah, you just remember, like, my tried out for baseball and the baseball pants didn't fit. Or I had gone into third grade and we're doing the little schoolhouse and we had to dress up as little schoolhouse children. And they had to go, I remember, to go to Goodwill and get me brand new extra large clothes in third grade. Or not fitting in your desk. They had to have the janitor come in and just make the desks bigger for you. So yeah, I grew up being bigger than everybody else, and it just kind of became who I was.
Did that seem normal to you back then?
It did. It did. I think being a younger individual, I think adults are afraid to say something. And I don't know if they leave it to the responsibility of the parents to kind of get you on track, but they don't want to hurt your feelings being so young. But yeah, it just seemed natural. Like no one questioned me.
What was life like for you back in high school?
Well, I would say I'm pretty typical. I didn't fit into a marching band uniform. There was points in your life where you walk into situations knowing that it's going to be a problem. So, like, marching band uniforms, not fitting into those. That's why I didn't join marching band. Just, like, fitting to the desk. Like, you were hoped that you would get into a classroom where you didn't have a desk. You would just have chairs so you could push out back as far as you could. So situations like that, you would just hope for the best.
What were your eating habits back then and all the way through college?
So I was raised on Wisconsin food, deep fried cheese curds, soda. I was raised on deep fried French fries. We'd go out to eat. You'd think nothing of it. You'd absolutely not think anything that these daily choices you're making in and out, was affecting your lifestyle. And nobody really taught me nutrition until I had come into this program. I mean, you do have a health class, I remember, in high school, but nobody took it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And just the immaturity of the age. You joke around. That's what you do in high school. You think it's all fun and games until you run into situations later on in life where you're like, okay, well, these choices I made as a kid are not gonna work for me as an adult.
Well, the obvious question is, how did that affect your physical health? And yes, that's really important. But the other question I really like you to talk about is, how did that affect your emotional and mental health?
Yeah, so I talked about being more present this year than I've ever been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it really, you get put into a state of mind where you don't think you're as good enough for anybody, whether it be dating. For me, dating was always hard because I just thought I wasn't good enough for anybody. So I never dated, and I put myself in a position where I was not valued as highly as somebody else who was skinnier than me. So I just had that mental image of myself, and I grew up like that, and still to this day. I mean, I've been working on it really hard this past year, so I've been improving. I'm proud to say I've been improving this past year, but it's definitely how you view your life and how you're present in your own life is how people see you.
Kelly, how is Crystal's experience similar to those of the folks that you work with?
Well, for many, it's very similar. We have a range of individuals that I've worked with, and some have a smaller amount of weight to lose, and some have a significant amount of weight to lose. And for many individuals, the situation was very similar growing up, living on the food that's available to us, especially in smaller towns like in Anago area, where you may not have the availability or even the nutrition education to have the healthy choices around. So, but also the isolation is really what I'm hearing. And it's unfortunate because the majority of our population now is technically overweight if we're looking at medical standards for height and weight, BMI. And our environment has really not caught up with that. So we have a couple factors. The availability of processed foods, sodas, fast food, the price difference oftentimes of the healthy foods versus the less healthy, processed, quick, convenient foods. But also the environment that we're living in, where Crystal talked about some of the limitations of her clothing, limitations of the furniture that she's in. And one of the things, when I first started at Aspyrus, again, about 13 years ago, I worked really closely with the bariatric surgery professionals. And not just from the aspect of treating the weight issues, but let's look at the environment and how is this comfortable? Do we have seating for all of our patients? Do we have beds that accommodate all patients, to not have them feel so out of place when they come in to see us?
Well, do you find, talk a little bit more about that, you know, addressing a person's emotional state. Yeah. In addition to the nutritional needs that they have at the time, how does that all work?
Yeah, so there's oftentimes when somebody decides they want to make the change of their lifestyle, and they start to think, okay, what do I need to do for my physical activity? What do I need to do for diet? Where do I turn for tools? And that point is different for everybody. I look forward to hearing Crystal's experience of when that turning point was. But once you start then making the changes and seeing the positive results on your health, on your physical well-being, oftentimes the mental health lags behind. So we have individuals who have had great success, but they still see themselves in that original state, and still struggle with the positive self-image and the self-confidence. Takes a while to catch up. And being a dietitian, I'm the first to admit that the mental health piece isn't my expertise. Mm-hmm. I've had some training in it, but I focus more on the nutrition. And when it comes to the kind of getting our head in the game and having that catch up to our success and to feel good about ourselves, then we usually would work with other experts in those fields.
Well, tell us a little bit about Ideal Weight Solutions and the services that you provide.
Sure. So Ideal Weight Solution is an option for anybody. It's really not meant for anybody with a specific weight or weight loss goal. It can be a simple meal plan that can be followed, so really a structured process. And it's all one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So for many individuals, they may want to start doing something, but a lot of the programs out there are in group settings, and they're not comfortable with that. Also, all of the staff that work for the program have their degree in health fields, health and wellness, health promotion, dietetics, to ensure that we have the knowledge, that we're not just coming in and saying, well, we lost weight, let me tell you how I did it, so that we can offer those resources.
Crystal, back at that time, high school before your transformation to where you are today, did you understand the relationship between what you ate and what you were eating and your health? Did you understand that relationship?
Oh, absolutely not. I was so misinformed. And even into adulthood, I continue to be misinformed. When I go shopping with individuals, such as family, such as friends, still misinformed. Those individuals are misinformed in what they're putting into their body. And it makes me almost like do a 180 of who I was last year, because the food I'm choosing now, I'm excited about. I'm excited to pair it and combine it with other healthy food. Whereas a year ago, I thought I was excited about food, but now I'm excited about food because I make food for my friends now. I'm like, look, here's a healthy alternative to this that you normally typically would eat. But again, I didn't know what I was putting in my body. I didn't know what all like fat-free, sugar-free. So something I learned in the program was when they do say that, so what's on the front of the box is not always what's on the back of the box, that nutrition label. And luckily, there's been nutrition guidelines last couple of years that have been so helpful to individuals like me come into effect, that they have to list them. Menus have to be, if it's a chain restaurant, if they have, I think it's like 6 restaurants or more, they have to have a nutrition guide online so I can look before I go. That has been a huge help for me, but just being informed what everything means and working with a dietitian so they can explain that to you has been such an improvement to my lifestyle.
And that's what you do, Kelly.
Absolutely. And I was so excited when the first suggestion came across the American Dietetic Association about having the nutrition labels changed. Now, that was, I want to say, 6 years ago, where we first started talking about, let's put added sugars on separately so that we know, is that can of mandarin oranges I'm eating just oranges, or is it in a syrup that has added sugar? So it's been very helpful, but also for the public to now say, you know what, I have to go to McDonald's, so what can I choose? Is the salad the healthiest option? Is the fruit smoothie really a healthy choice?
You're listening to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rick Ryer with healthy lifestyle influencer Crystal Bennis and registered dietitian Kelly O'Hearn. When we come back, we'll climb the mountain of Crystal's journey and transformation and Fort Wayne's smallest winner. We'd like to hear from you as well. Join the conversation at 800-780-9742. Again, that number is 800-780-9742. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcome back to Route 51. We're talking with Anago native and Fort Wayne's smallest winner runner-up, Crystal Bennis, and Kelly O'Hearn from Aspire's Ideal Weight Solutions. I'm Rick Ryer. Your questions and comments are always welcome. Are you needing some encouragement? This is a safe place. Call us at 800-780-9742. Again, that phone number is 800-780-9742. Crystal, your job took you to Fort Wayne, Indiana in 2018. Did you have any idea your life was going to make such a turn?
Oh, gosh, no. I had thought I had moved there and I would go to work day in and day out like a lot of individuals do, like I did here. That was the routine. It wasn't any, this was very unexpected to apply to Fort Wayne's Smallest Winner and actually get in the program and do the 15 weeks program and after that keep going. I think I want to say like that song was a perfect intro to this topic because it says it ain't hard if you don't stop. So after the 15 weeks, keeping going, big thing. I just want to say that's part of the journey, keeping going.
We're going to get into that in just a minute, but I want you to take us back to that moment in time when you were in Fort Wayne and you made that decision that saved your life. What happened and where were you?
So there's a couple different factors here. So I had joined a gym called Space Fitness in Fort Wayne. It was recommended to me by a coworker, and I was walking the track because that's all I could do at nearly 400 pounds was walk the track. I would get on the elliptical sometimes and just elliptical for an hour, and no change would ever come about because we talk a lot about how diet is 80% of it, exercise 20%. We 80-20 everything. But it was seeing this group of individuals from the previous season. It was season 10 of Fort Wayne's Smallest Winner. They were wrapping up their 15 weeks program. 25 individuals walking across the gym floor, working out together. They became family. And you could see that the support in the room was so incomparable to anything I've ever seen in life. And I think when you're starting a journey such as this, it's overwhelming to think you have 200 pounds to lose. It is so overwhelming. And to do it with that support makes it a little more manageable. So I saw these 25 individuals working out, walking across the gym floor. And then, of course, there was the other aspect of my life. I would go home and getting out of bed, rolling over in bed, tying my shoes, just not being able to do things I've always wanted to do as a kid, riding amusement park rides. There was a lot that went into it. So it wasn't, I don't want to say that it was just me seeing the support of Fort Wayne's Smallest Winner from the previous season, but there was a back end to the story too. There was so much I wanted to do in life and my weight was preventing that from happening.
You were stuck.
I was stuck. Yep. And I think a lot of individuals feel that way that are in the situation I was in.
tell us about the experience on the Fort Wayne Smallest Winter. How did that come together? And what was really the hardest challenge? And what did you learn about yourself?
Oh, my goodness. There's so much challenging mindset, changing your mindset from this is not a diet to this is a lifestyle. That's a big thing. I still to this day, I hear a lot of individuals talk about they're going on diet to lose this much weight. And for me, it wasn't I wanted to lose 200 pounds. I didn't start out that way. Adjusting my mindset to focus on input goals. So I'm talking about I want to exercise this amount of time during the week, and I want to get this meal prepared right. I want a meal prep today. Getting that discipline down was the hardest. I think becoming disciplined as an adult to make these life changes was probably the hardest part. And then because of the emotional state that I had come from where I didn't feel good enough for anybody, and it was mentally, I was mentally abusing myself is what I talk about. And Tina, she is the co-founder of Fort Wayne Smallest Winter. Her and I actually clashed a lot where I'm like, how could this skinny person know anything about being 400 pounds? Like, and I think everybody in the program went through that. They're like, how can these people who already live this lifestyle know anything about where I'm coming from, and how can they understand it? So yeah, there, that mental hurdle was the most challenging aspect of the program. And we had a behaviorist. You talked a little bit about getting people to understand the mental aspect of it, right? And I realized when I was participating in the program that my background could be very similar to each contestant's background, or it could be very different. We had people come from abusive backgrounds, people who just didn't know anything about nutrition like I did. There were so many different factors, and to get this group of people to come together and support each other like they did, just incredible.
Well, Crystal, we happen to have a special guest on the phone that I think you'd want to hear from. Tina Walters from Fort Wayne's Smallest Winner is on the line, and welcome to Route 51, Tina.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning.
I'd like you to talk about, of course, the program, but first tell us about your experience with Crystal.
Oh, my goodness. Where do we start, Crystal?
Yes, where do we start, Tina?
Yes, where do we start? Well, Crystal kind of, I was listening in and I was chuckling to myself hearing her talk. She probably was the hardest contestant that we've probably ever had through almost 12 years of doing our program. She just didn't want to take it in. I don't know what it was that, I mean, we would tell her to do something. If I told her to go this way, she'd go the other way. And it was just a constant battle of, I think what she was saying, like, how could we possibly know what we were doing if we're fit and we eat a very regimented type of diet for my husband and I? How would we be able to possibly communicate to people that have been overweight almost their whole life? And I think it was a real big trust issue with Crystal in believing that, you know, this actually works. There's no pills, there's no shakes, there's no gimmicks. It's hard work. It's you showing up every day and allowing our dietitians, our behaviorists, and all our trainers to make them learn a different way that they've never known before and actually believe in it.
And
I think that was the key.
That's incredible. And you know, I think we also have Rick Walters on line too.
Oh boy.
Rick, are you there?
Yep.
Oh man, this is like my worst nightmare.
And we did lose Tina. Tina, if you'd like to call back, that would be great. But go ahead, Rick.
I'm glad to be here. How can I help today?
Well, tell us about your experience with Crystal.
Well, every year when we start a program, we can never tell who is going to be successful. We learned that in the beginning. Sometimes those that are the most boisterous and and seem to be the most into it are the ones that don't succeed. So we've learned that we can never tell who is going to be the successful person. And Crystal obviously is the most successful person that our program has ever had. And I think Tina and I would both say we never predicted that in the first 3 or 4 weeks from Crystal.
And can I say something that Rick actually said to me? Like, it was like week 13, 14, and he said, "It is not where you are on July 14th, 2018, which was the day of our finale. It was, he had spoken up, and he pulled me aside specifically and said this. It's where you are July 14th, 2019, 2020, 2030. He's absolutely right. And that's where I talk about it's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. So you think you're going to be on a diet for 15 weeks? No, you go into a lifestyle and it's forever.
And Crystal, you did put in your blog a kind of an old nursery rhyme, if you will, or an old song. The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. The wheels on the bus go round and round all through Rick and Tina's town. would you care to explain what that was all about?
Wow, you're reading blogs from last year. I feel like I'm a completely different person now. But it was trusting Rick and Tina that really has made this a successful journey for me. And listening to them, and I think you heard from Tina, I did not want to listen. So that little nursery rhyme was just me kind of being me and being sarcastic, saying, "Hey, I don't want to listen, but I got to listen because I'm going to save my life." So that's what that was all about.
Well, Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. We really do appreciate it. And congratulations on the program.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me. And can't wait till you're back home, Crystal.
Oh, I can't wait to be back.
Since the program, Crystal, you just talked about this, and Rick was talking about to you what it's like July of 2019 and 2020 and so on. You've lost more weight. You're at what right now?
I'm maintaining right now. I lost 200 pounds total. It was 9 months and 3 weeks. It was the day that 200 pounds down. So,
how do you maintain it? What's the secret?
So, I don't know if there's a secret. Working and listening and understanding what you're putting in your body. So we've made some adjustments the last couple, probably month, where I'm doing a little less cardio than I was previously doing. We've upped my calories. And it's basically juggling where I need to be at, because I am going to start training for a marathon. That's actually my next goal. So working with a dietitian, she set my macros, she set my micros, and she kind of knows me personally. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. I weigh 175 pounds. Somebody else in my height might have a different body structure. They might weigh 150 pounds. So you had talked about the BMI chart. I was Googling that, and I should be under 164 pounds. I actually was lucky to go to St. Francis in Fort Wayne, and they had a bod pod test where they took my measurements, and I was 16.3% body fat, which is incredible. It put me in the elite athlete body percentage. So that we've been working with my dietitian because we know I am where I need to be at. And I'm never going to meet that 164 and below. So you can't always go by that chart.
Kelly, how do you respond to that?
Absolutely. Especially when we talk about muscle mass, BMI is a poor indicator of health. It was really designed, BMI stands for body mass index, so it's a ratio of your weight to your height. But it does not factor in all of these key things like Crystal's physical fitness in different body types. So when you're working with somebody and setting these goals, you want to encompass, like you said, the bod pod, which is a body fat percentage testing, tracking measurements, other factors like blood pressure, and looking at the whole body and not just plotting yourself on a chart. But what that was really designed for, the BMI chart, was to assess kind of a health risk. But what we're seeing as the population has kind of trended upwards on that chart, that we still, a BMI under 30 still sees a fairly low health risk for problems. It's once we get higher than that that we start to see more diabetes, cancer, cardiac, heart problems.
And Crystal had mentioned in this segment, we affectionately are calling Crystal Lighter, and which is your nickname, I understand.
Yes.
Too, Crystal. That each plan is individual to a person. Now, not every person is going to be able to do such an intense program like Crystal went through. Yet, people that are looking at needing to lose a certain amount of weight, just basic health reasons, what you're doing at your facility is individualizing each of those plans.
Exactly. So that's why it's so key for us to be able to work one-on-one with every person, and to really identify what the barriers are and to earn that trust. It can be really painful to start to uncover the reasons of why our health is where it is when we start that journey to make a change. And so you really need to develop that trust and recognize that the person you're working with wants it as much as you. You know, that passion and that partnership to help you get through when it's kind of a struggle at different times. So, but the intimacy, the developing the meal plans, the identifying exactly what's going to work for that person for the long term, so key. I oftentimes, when I'm giving kind of an introductory, we call it a workshop or an information session to people interested in possibly participating in our program, is to talk about the changes that you are going to start making once you start this program. They have to be sustained. I can guarantee you follow this meal plan and you will lose the weight. But what happens a year from now? And what happens 5 years from now? If you return back to the habits that you had before, your weight will return to the weight it was before. And there's no vaccination against that. It has to be a long-term commitment to the changes that you see really make have a positive effect on your body.
And we're going to get a little bit more in depth in talking about those habits and how to break those habits in the next segment. But we do have a caller, Chris from Adams, has a question. I believe it's probably directed to you, Kelly. Go ahead, Adam.
Good morning.
Chris, sorry.
I have a little bit of a different perspective on this. I've had a lifetime digestive system disease, and it didn't get diagnosed until I went to see a naturopath when I was about 30 years old. And after that, I went through many more years of trying to ferret out where all the things I'm allergic to are in the food system, because the manufacturers don't label things properly. That's part of the problem. And I also came to the realization that the reason that I had put on a bunch of weight was because I was poisoning myself inadvertently. And what happens, and this is with anybody, it's not just people that have allergies to certain foods, is the vast majority of food that you buy in the grocery store has stuff in it that is addicting you to the food, number one. It's got lots of processed cheap starch and sugars in it. And so you're having insulin problems going up and down, and it's making you hungry. But it's also making your body think that it's starving to death because it's so bereft of vitamins and minerals that your brain is telling your body that it's not getting fed. And so you're constantly eating just because of those two things. You're being starved and you're getting addicted. And people need to understand that they have to stop doing that because I live in one of the most unhealthy counties in one of the most unhealthy states in the nation, and it's abysmal. But the other thing I wanted to say is I'm a really, really good cook. I'm a gourmet cook. People think that you go on a diet and you're going to be bored with the food. People need to learn how to cook. They need to season their food properly with good, healthy herbs and spices, and you will be happy and you will be sated because your food is going to be so delicious that you're not going to need as much of it. So that's basically what I wanted to say.
Thank you so much, Chris. Kelly.
Well, thank you, Chris. I absolutely agree. A lot of the food available in the market, especially in some of the more rural areas of Wisconsin, tend to be highly processed, high in sugar, high in refined carbohydrates, as you had mentioned, and then additives to make them shelf stable and last a long time. So as Crystal and I, in between, or before the show started, we really were talking about that focus on shopping on the perimeter of the grocery store. And one of the most rewarding and I think applicable tools that I share with my patients is a grocery store tour. Really getting in the store, looking at those labels, finding those products that Chris was referring to with those additives, and really focusing on fresh, natural foods, and then diversifying our cooking, making that a goal that we actually start to really explore, okay, what can be some of my family recipes that I'm going to make that utilize those foods.
And we'll be talking more about that when we come back. You're listening to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio, and you can join the conversation at 800-780-9742.
I will find my way. I can go the distance. I'll be there someday. If I can be strong, I know every mile will be worth my while. Would go most anywhere to feel like I belong.
I'm Rick Ryer on Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio with Crystal Bennis and Kelly O'Hearn. Our number to join the conversation is 800-780-9742. Crystal, what did it take to break away from your old habits?
Discipline. I talk about discipline. Let's talk about discipline because old habits are hard to break. Everybody says that. And being a disciplined individual, I said I lost it when I moved out of my parents' house. Because as an adult, I started doing what I wanted to do and not so much what I had to do regarding my health. So when I talk about discipline and becoming more disciplined this past year, I've seen so much come with it. So I started out, obviously I started Fort Wayne Smallest Winner in April of last year. But also with that, I started flossing. So just small things I made changes to, doing that every day. If I can floss every day, and if I can eat healthy every day, different things come along with that. I started cleaning my house more, which is just amazing for me. Because everybody has their bad habits. For me, it was eating horribly, and I'm a messy person. I'm not even afraid to admit that. And then getting rid of those excuses, right? So many different times in life, we make excuses why we can't do this, we can't do that. And I always just be honest with yourself. You can do it. When I say, I think that first blog, I said, I can't. If you ever hear me say that, you call me out on it. And still to this day, you call me out on it because I can. Absolutely. You're telling me if I can lose 200 pounds in under 10 months, I can do pretty much anything I set my mind to, and it's getting rid of the excuses. It's hard. Bad excuse. I have kids. Bad excuse. And going to college. Bad excuse. My schedule doesn't allow it. Bad excuse. There, you got to make it work, and just being disciplined.
You can't or you won't. That goes right down to that question.
That's correct.
Tell us about your food regimen these days.
So I eat constantly, obnoxiously. I've been living, so I've been back in central Wisconsin since the weekend, and I've been living with my best friend and just seeing her eating habits compared to mine. So we talk a lot about food prepping. A lot of individuals will food prep on Sunday, get their meals down for the week. I prepare everything. I hardly ever eat out because right along with being disciplined, I realize how privileged I have been through growing up in where I live. In Wisconsin, in Indiana, things were handed to me. I can go get coffee on the corner, or I can go eat out. It's so easy to be overprivileged. I would say I was overprivileged, and I'm still overprivileged. I have access to all this healthy food, and it's realizing how privileged you are to have your health. And I talk about that because it's been a blessing this past year. Of how eye-opening and present I've been in my own life now that I get to enjoy the food that I am currently eating. So, yeah, privilege. Let's talk. Can we talk about that a little bit?
I was just going to say, you know, talk about that and talk about what you are actually eating.
So, yeah, what I'm eating is – so I worked with my dietitian, and maybe, Kelly, you can join in on this. A couple weeks ago – I'm always learning on this journey, always learning. I was always looking at calories, calories, calories. And that's kind of what I understood as being healthy, a woman, 1,800 calories, men, 2,000 calories. That wasn't taking into it wasn't taking into mind the factors that I have a different body type than somebody. My resting metabolic rate is completely different than somebody else who is maybe 5'3" and I'm 5'8". So taking into those factors was a big thing for me. So you want to speak a little bit about macros and micros? I want to bring this up a little bit because I talked a little bit about calories and how I've kind of gone away from them. I do use them as a guiding factor, but I talk a lot about macros now. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, excellent. Okay, so what Crystal's referring to with macros is our sources of energy, which is carbohydrates, fat, and protein. But it really comes down to, when it comes to calories, it's what's the bang for the buck? Am I getting nutrition out of this, or is it just a low-calorie item that is full of processed sugar and starch, and that it's going to leave me hungry an hour from now? So, you know, when we talk about the shopping on the perimeter of the store, you're getting foods that have a lot of the, they're more nutritious. They leave us feeling more satisfied and for a longer period of time. But then they also give us those micros. So the micros is the other piece of nutrition. It's the vitamins and minerals in our diet. So, you know, you could fill up on 1,800 calories in a day of soda and other processed, quickly burned up foods. But what are you doing for your body? And how does it respond? It really responds very differently. I don't feel like a calorie is a calorie when it comes to weight management. So I think it does come down to getting the right sources for those calories. The meal plans that we work with for our clients are really centered around the vegetables. Getting more vegetables in is just so key for a healthy lifestyle long term, for reasons of, you know, not having a lot of the processing. You're not having the processed foods, but also you're getting a lot of those micronutrients.
Cooked or raw?
Either one, okay. either one. You know, you can, as long as you're not deep frying it like you do at the fair.
Deep fry everything, yeah.
Right? No, you know, for prepping, there's so many different ways. There's so many sautéing. Broiling is a really popular way right now. Making stir fries. People are putting vegetables into their smoothies in the morning now. So the vegetables is a key part of our education, and then proteins, and the healthy fats. So getting the right fats in. So
what's a healthy fat?
A healthy fat would be, some examples would be olive oil, mm-hmm. avocado oil, fats from your fish are a really wonderful source. So focusing on the good macros, so the good fats and the lean proteins. So that would be some is plant-based proteins, maybe like there's nuts and beans could be part of it, but there's for our program is primarily lean meat, fish, eggs, tofu if you're feeling so adventurous. Yeah, and it's eliminating those processed pieces. The processed sugars, starches, alcohol, sugar, those things are the reason why a majority of the population struggles, because those foods are so inexpensive, they're available, but they're also contributing to us struggling with our weight.
So my go-to breakfast is a peanut butter toast. Mm-hmm. What's a good substitute for that if that's not a good thing?
So actually, I do peanut butter toast quite often. And so there's peanut butter toast and then there's peanut butter toast. So we actually were talking about this prior to airing peanut butter. Let's talk about that a little bit, because you go to the store, there's so many varieties, right? And you look here again, I'm going to preach. What's on the front is not always the label reads on the back. So I do Richard's 100% natural peanut butter. It's 100% peanuts. Whereas if you do a alternative brand, they could be adding sugar, they could be adding fat content. There is different things to look for on the back of that peanut butter. So whereas I'm using 100% natural, all peanuts, and I am not too worried, that's healthy fat, there's different things to watch out for when you buy your peanut butter. And then there's whole grain toast, and then there's white toast, right? And I am a big fan of like Auntie Millie's, the light toast. You can have two pieces of whole grain toast for like 70 calories, and you put your peanut butter, serving size. I use a tablespoon of peanut butter. And that's another thing. Can we talk about that? Measuring your food out, because you think you're going to get good enough to not measure it, but then you're going to be just a little bit more, and then it spirals out of control.
In the last few minutes that we have left, I'd like both of you to answer this. What is the one thing that will keep people on track in reaching their weight loss goals and then maintaining that? Kelly?
Well, I'm going to piggyback here on what Crystal said, is really the regimen. So setting a regimen for your meals, and that requires having a plan. If you get – we typically purchase very similar things each time we go to the store. And so if we can go ahead and set out, okay, here's my idea for like 7 different breakfasts and 7 different lunches and dinners, and kind of trade off and understanding, okay, what's a good portion for this? What's a good way to prep it? But you always have these kind of a go-to list. I actually have a list on my phone that allows me to, okay, I'm going to the grocery store. What meals do I want to make this week? And what ingredients do I need to make sure I have in the house? It's all that prepping and having that regimen set aside. I also have a 1-year-old daughter, and so that meal prepping is really important to make sure I don't resort to saying, oh, you can have whatever school is serving today.
Crystal, in about 30 seconds.
Accountability. Number one, be accountable to yourself, but also tell people your goals. I think that's a big one, because then you're accountable to yourself, you're accountable to them, and they don't want to see you fail. So most people have the best interest for you in their heart. So.
And discipline, I remember.
And discipline, yes.
Well, thank you both so much for being here today. And that's all the time we have left for today on Route 51. I'd like to thank our guests, Crystal Bettis and Kelly O'Hearn, for joining us today. Thank you to Rick and Tina Walters from Fort Wayne's Smallest Winner for sharing their time with us as well. Joy Ratchkramer is our on-air producer. John Altenberg composed the Route 51 theme. Special music today from Maddie and Tay, Mr. Mister, Dirks Bentley, Roger Bart, Kelly Clarkson, and Skillet. I'm Rick Ryer. If you missed part of today's program, you can hear it online at wpr.org/route51 or Friday night at 90.9 FM at 7 o'clock. Until next week, we're heading out of town.